Chapter 5. Running Away. Snow lay on the ground under a pale winter sky when Archer arrived at Skuytercliff on Sunday afternoon. There, he learned from a servant that Countess Olenska was at church with Mrs. van der Luyden. Leaving his horse with the servant, Archer walked toward the village, hoping to meet Mrs. van der Luyden's carriage. Soon, he noticed someone in red on a path ahead. It was the Countess.
"Ah, you've come," she said when he reached her.
In her bright red coat, she looked lively and happy, like the Ellen Mingott he remembered, and he laughed. The ground seemed to sing under their feet as they began to walk back together across the snow.
"I came to see what you were running away from," he said.
A cloud passed over her face as she answered, "You'll soon see." Then, more brightly, she said, "I'm cold after sitting in church. I need to warm up. Let's run a race." And lifting up her coat, she ran away across the snow. For a moment, Archer could only stand and watch. Then he ran after her and met her at the gate to the Skuytercliff Gardens. Both of them were breathing fast and laughing. She looked up at him and smiled.
"Did May ask you to look after me?"
"I came because of your letter," he replied, his heart beating fast. "You're laughing now," he said, "but when you wrote me that letter, you were unhappy."
"Yes, but I can't feel unhappy when you're here," she answered.
"And I live in the moment when I'm happy."
His heart started to beat even faster. Was she running away from him? Was she afraid of her feelings for him?
"Ellen, tell me what's wrong."
He waited for her to answer. He thought about her moving closer, reaching her arms round his neck. It seemed so real that he could almost feel her touch. Then, as he waited silently, almost without breathing, a man in a heavy winter coat appeared on the path in front of them. It was Julius Beaufort.
"Oh,"
she said, seeing Beaufort. Beaufort was smiling at them both, but Archer could see that he was cross not to find the Countess alone.
"Countess, I've hurried here to give you some news. I've found you a perfect little house to move to," Beaufort announced. "But one day I won't need to travel to tell you something like this. There'll be a new way of talking. The telephone, they call it. I'll be able to stay at home in front of my warm fire and speak to you."
The Countess laughed at the thought of this crazy idea and continued to talk about it until they all arrived back at the house. There, Archer quickly found his horse and hurried away. During his journey, he thought about Beaufort, the man that the Countess was running away from. But did she really not like him? Or was she afraid of her feelings for him? Maybe she even secretly wanted him to follow her to Skuytercliff. Beaufort might interest her more than other men because he was more like the Europeans that she knew. Back in New York, Archer felt bored at work, with little to do. At home, even a box of the best new books from London could not interest him. He could not stop thinking about Countess Olenska and Beaufort. His mother and sister became worried that he was working too hard. 4 days later, he received a message from the Countess. "Come late tomorrow. I must explain to you. Ellen." Archer read it many times. Finally, his answer was to leave the house that afternoon and jump on a boat to St. Augustine in Florida. Early the next morning, he walked down the sandy street in St. Augustine to the Wellens' house and saw May under an orange tree with the sun in her hair. "Why did I wait so long to come?" he asked himself. Here was the truth, the life that was his.
"Newland, has anything happened?" asked May, looking worried.
"Yes, I had to see you," he answered, and she smiled happily. Her skin was a warm brown, and her hair was full of light. He put his arm round her and kissed her, but she pulled away quickly. When Archer saw May's parents, he had to explain his arrival. "I was worried about catching a cold, so Mr. Letterblair ordered me to take a holiday," he said.
"You must stay until you're completely better," said May's mother kindly. After breakfast, she spoke to him alone. "The whole family wants to thank you for asking Ellen to give up the idea of divorce. We knew that you were thinking of doing the right thing for May." Archer's face burned at hearing Ellen's name. "Poor Ellen. She was always a wild little girl," continued Mrs. Welland. "Who knows what her future will be?" Archer wanted to say, "Her future will be what we make for her. If you want her to be Beaufort's lover, you're doing the right things." But of course, he did not. And he was relieved to see May coming back from a drive with her father. He wanted to speak to Mrs. Welland about the date of his wedding, not about Countess Olenska. Now, his only hope was to ask May again, but he waited until the day before he left for New York. "We could travel together in Europe in the spring if we get married in early April," he said.
"I love listening to your dreams, Newland," replied May.
"Why does it have to be a dream? Why should we wait?" he cried. "Don't you understand how much I want you to be my wife?" May looked at him closely.
"I'm not sure if I do understand," she said quietly. "I've noticed something different in you since we announced our engagement. Newland, is there someone else between you and me?"
"No, that's crazy," he answered.
"Then why shouldn't we speak of it? But if there is someone else, I don't want you to make a mistake and marry me."
"But I'm asking you to get married in April. So how can I think that it's a mistake?"
"Maybe you want to decide quickly. Newland, I know that you loved someone else before me. Everyone was talking about it 2 years ago. I don't want to be happy if it makes someone else unhappy. If you feel that you've made a promise to that other woman, I don't want to stand in your way."
For a moment, Archer could not speak. He was shocked that May was talking openly about Mrs. Rushworth, the woman that he once loved. He could see how difficult it was for her, too.
"I've promised myself to no one else, my dearest May," he said at last. and I love you for understanding so many things. So why should we do what other people expect?" She turned her happy face toward him, and her eyes were wet. The next moment, Archer saw that the brave woman was gone, and May was the innocent girl again.